Shilla Prabhupada ki. Welcome to today's topical class. My name is Pelelani. Thank you for attending, Matatis, Prabhus. So, earlier this week, I had a conversation with a friend of mine, and that is after I found out I was going to give class today, and he said to me, Pele, you're giving class because you go to morning program, Mangalati. And I thought about it, and I want to start off from that point. So basically, he was suggesting that I got chosen for the class because I go to Mangalati. So my counter argument was that I go to Mangalati because I was chosen. So we are chosen by Srila Prabhupada to execute devotional service. So we're just trying to be grateful, trying to wake up in the morning and to give class like this and to sit in and listen to class. Right? So today's class is about social, moral, and religious responsibilities. So it's our responsibility to show gratitude to Srila Prabhupada. So having said that, I will read verse 14, chapter 2 on the Bhagavad Gita. I'll read and then can you please repeat after me? Matras paras tu kaumtenya. Sitoshna sukha dukha daha. Agama payino nityas. Tamstitakshasva paratha. Matras paras tu kaumtenya. Sitoshna sukha dukha taha. Agama payino nityas. Tamstitakshasva bharata. Matras parastu tetena. Sitoshna sukha dukha taha. Agama payino nityas. Tamstitakshasva bharata. Word for word. Matras parsaha. Sensory perception. Tu. Only. Katanteya. O son of Kunti. Sita. Winter. Ushna. Summer. Sukha. Happiness. Dukkha and pain. Da. Giving. Agama. Appearing. Apayina. Disappearing. Anityaha. Non-permanent. Tan. All of them. Titikshasva. Just to tolerate. Bharata. Oh, descendant of the Bharata dynasty. Translation. O son of Kunti, the non-permanent appearance of happiness and distress and their disappearance in due course are like the the appearance and disappearance of winter and summer seasons. They arise from the sense perception, O son of Bharata, and one must learn to tolerate them without being disturbed. Purport and translation by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Srila Prabhupada Ki. In proper discharge of duty, one has to learn to tolerate non-permanent appearance and disappearance of happiness and distress. According to Vedic injunction, one has to take his bath early in the morning, even during the month of Magha. That's January to February. It is very cold at that time, but in spite of that, a man who abides by the religious principle does not hesitate to take his bath. Similarly, a woman does not hesitate to cook in the kitchen in the months of May and June, the hottest part of the summer season. One has to execute his duty in spite of climatic inconveniences. Similarly, to fight in the religious principle of the Kshatriyas, and although one has to fight with some friend or relative, one should not deviate from his prescribed duty. One has to follow the prescribed rules and regulations of religious principles in order to rise to the platform of knowledge, because by knowledge and devotion only can one liberate himself from the clutches of Maya. The two different names of addresses given to Arjuna are also significant. To address him as Kunteya signifies his great blood relations from his mother's side, and to address him as Bharata signifies his greatness from his father's side. From both sides, he is supposed to have a great heritage. A great heritage brings responsibility in the matter of proper discharges of duty. Therefore, he cannot avoid fighting. So, a sentence that stood out for me in this purport was the last sentence. A great heritage brings responsibility in the matter of proper discharge of duties. So this word responsibility comes again. Arjuna has got some responsibility. So I looked at the word responsibility, and I wanted to get an overall vibe, so to speak, about the word responsibility. So, because I was thinking, you know, the word responsibility sometimes has some negative connotations to it. You know, when someone says you have a responsibility, you know, sounds like a weight, you know, on your shoulders, you know. I don't know, you disagree? You agree? Responsibility? It's about it. Hey? You like responsibility? No, nobody likes. Who likes responsibility? It's okay. Okay, see, the minority. But basically the point is, especially the youth, responsibility means, you know, a weight on your shoulder. It's sort of, if someone says, be responsible, you know, it's almost as if they're saying, do something that you can't, you're not. It's like going out of yourself or something. It's like an endeavor. But actually, today, this morning, I'd like us to look at responsibility in a new aspect, in a new light, because responsibility actually is part of who we are. We can't run away from responsibility. Responsibility is there with us every part of our lives, whether you wake up for the morning program or you don't. Like, I thought of this one example of a Grihastha man. He's married, he's got children, and maybe he's got a mistress on the side. And he makes the mistress, you know, somehow he makes the mistress pregnant, right? And then he decides to abandon the mistress because he makes an excuse like this. Like, he'd say, you know, I have family responsibilities, you know? So he's not taking the responsibility of the mistress because he's got other responsibilities to look after. So either way, he's got responsibilities. Whether he goes and looks after the mistress or he continues with his family, but either way, there's always responsibilities in our life. So whether you wake up in the morning and take the responsibility of coming to Manga Auntie, or you don't, or you sleep till 12 or whatever, there's still some responsibilities. So responsibility, from this phrase, I'd like us to put it aside or relook at it as in a new light, basically. So I came up with this science, like this word science. I actually can break up this word. If we break up this word responsibility, what it means, maybe we can be able to look at it in a new light and appreciate it. So responsibility, we can look at it as a responsibility, basically. That's what I thought. So it's this ability for us to respond to life situations, because naturally we are responding to life situations anyway. You know, someone insults you, someone, you know, congratulates you or whatever. But there's an exchange. There's a response. It's like a reaction. It's like we have this God-given response to life. We are able to respond to life in whichever way we choose, right? So this thing is going on every day in our lives. We're responding. Life is going on. We're responding to life. So I look at it as this responsibility. So, and Krishna has given us this independence to make these choices in our lives with this ability to respond to life. So responsibility is there, so let us not focus so much on it. Let us look at rather the choices that we're making in our lives with this ability of ours, right? So I thought we'd move to the word choice, the choices that we're making in our lives. And where are they taking us in our lives? Are we getting to where we want to get to with the choices that we're making in our lives? So that's the one point I wanted to make to open with. There is a verse number 210. If I can just quickly go to it. Okay, so in verse 210, Krishna is talking to, because the translation goes like this: "Oh, descendant of Bharata, at that time, Krishna, smiling in the midst of both armies, spoke the following words to the grief-stricken Arjuna." And then the purport is: the talk was going on between intimate friends, namely the Hirishesha and Gudasheka. As friends, both of them were on the same level, but one of them voluntarily became a student of the other. Krishna was smiling because a friend had chosen to become a disciple. So this one line for me was stood out. Krishna was smiling because a friend had chosen to become a disciple. So Krishna likes these choices that we make in life. You know, it makes him smile. He likes these choices that we're making in life. I know I read a book, Devamrita Swami. It's called the emotional dynamics of a devotee. And I picked a section from the book, and then it goes like, You don't have to wait for the wheel of time to work its slow changes. By our endeavors to make the right choices repeatedly, building and flexing our choice muscles, the super soul, observing from within our heart, becomes pleased and swings into action. Bhakti yoga means the process of constantly making the right choices to please the Lord in the heart. And then the Lord in the heart makes the transformation. So we can see how important these choices that we are making in our daily lives, they build up to our ultimate destination. I have some. So I came up with a scenario. I've always had this analogy of walking in a tightrope, walking on a tightrope. Spiritual life is like that. It's like you're walking on a tightrope, and on either side, you can fall down. So the tightrope is like a spiritual, it's like devotional service, basically. So on the one side, you can choose to think that you are the body, which can cause you to fall down. Now, how that can cause you to fall down is basically the body. Thinking you're the body comes with its own responsibilities. So, the minute you think, I'm the body, immediately so many other thoughts come to your mind. You know, you're suddenly going to feel hungry. You're suddenly going to want to do this and this and this. So, when you're walking on this tightrope, you don't want to be distracted. You don't want to be thinking about anything that's going to weigh you down. So, basically, when you have these thoughts, they overpower you, because we forget that we don't have the mental capacity to entertain everything that's going on in material life. The whole point is to stay focused on Krishna consciousness and to always try and attain that higher taste, because only when you have that higher taste, or you're seeking out for that higher taste, that you're going to be able to elevate your mind to the state where you're cruising in spiritual life, basically. You're cruising in spiritual life. So it's about making these choices within ourselves, within our hearts. Like we see that, I was thinking, I mean, if you have this feeling of love, you know, this feeling of direction, you know, this feeling of being, of going somewhere, you know, of being wanted somewhere, you know, of being missed, you know. It's like in SSR, Srila Prabhupada, I couldn't find it when I was looking for it, but I remember when I started reading the book, he was describing how when you haven't been home in a long time and you're finally on your way home, like how we are in college now, maybe, you know, finally you go home, you might come across so many impediments, you know, on the way. You know, you might be riding in a train and you're not sitting comfortable, or whatever. But because you have this, you're going home and you haven't been home, you're going to see your parents or whatever. So you're in this blissful state of mind. So you don't worry about what's going on around you at that time, because your mind is it's focused. You got that vision in mind. So you keep going. So that's an analogy. That's my analogy, anyway, of the tightrope. If you have this state of mind that Krishna is the goal, I'm not the body, Krishna is the goal. So it's like that, spiritual life. So these are choices that we make in our daily lives, you know. And another example would be if you have someone special in your life and you're excited about, you know, the role that they're going to play in your life, you know, you met a girl or boy or friends or whatever. It's like sometimes you can even miss breakfast, you can miss lunch, you know. You can go on without eating because your mind is so engaged in this experience, in this loving experience that you're feeling, you see. So it's like that, you see. Sometimes you can forget all these sufferings that the body gives you. I have one experience chanting and sitting like this on the lotus position. Because when I first came, I had trouble sitting like this. So I think I spent a couple of weeks in my first Krishna consciousness just trying to sit properly, because I realized that, I don't know, I just thought, okay, the philosophy is too much. I'll just worry about the postures, the sitting posture for now. And then I'll be there in class anyway. So that is what I was doing, I think, for the first 2 or 3 weeks or whatever. I said, if I can sit like this through class, I'll be very happy. I'll come out of this class knowing that I learned something today, you know. So it was like that. So, but recently I learned that it's about the mind, you know. It's like the mind. If you're chanting properly, for instance, you know, you don't think about the pains of the body. You know, you could be sitting like this, but if you're not focused on the chanting, for an example, you're gonna say, "Oh, my body hurts." You know, I gotta get up. I gotta stand up. And I remember Partha Saradi Das Goswami Maharaj was speaking about the same thing. He said, "It's like if you're walking and chanting japa, you know, you're not so much, you know, as focused as someone maybe who would be sitting down, because you have to think about the fact that, you know, you're walking at the same time. You have to go in circles or whatever you're doing. So, but I mean, not that one is better than the other, but I'm just making an example. So these things are there. And do you guys think it makes sense? Does it make sense? Even the analogy of the robe, walking on the robe. Because I came up with it on my own, so I don't know if it's too far out or anything. So on the one side, you can be thinking, the body needs this, the body needs this. And then on the other side, you could be thinking, in spiritual life, you know, you get to learn so many things. You become so knowledgeable about this and this. So you could easily fall into the trap where you're thinking, you're smart, you're bright. Because spiritual life, that's what it does. It brings light into our life, you see. So the light can get too much, you know. You could be thinking, sometimes you have the light or you are the light. Like, you know, some Mayavadi. You know. So that's another way to fall. You know, that's another way to fall. So we see that at every stage, you know, we should be keeping the balance and the focus in Krishna consciousness and having that higher taste. So I read an article. I think the woman's name is Iyanla Vanzat. I read it a while ago. The book was called One Day My Soul Opened Up. And then she was talking about these choices in life. And then she said, if you see that the choices that you have made in life are no longer leading you towards success, then, you know, you make another choice. Don't be afraid to make another choice, because making another choice in life doesn't mean that we're a failure. It just means that you recognize the conflict that the choices that you made in life are leading you towards. So we can make these choices to reevaluate our life every day. I thought maybe what we could do practically is we could reflect on some of the choices that we have made, maybe today or yesterday, or some of the choices that we made in the future, and try to see some consistency and whether these choices are actually leading us to what we desire. For example, I came up with this one example. Maybe yesterday I might have made a choice to come here to Pacta Vedanta College, and then I said okay, and then I made another choice to say I'm gonna find a good friend in Bhakti Vedanta College, and then I made another choice for the future, which is maybe say becoming, you know, a guru or a Goswami, right, or just a brahmachari, right? So now we gotta look at whether there's consistency. For instance, I can come here to the college and then I can start being friends with Purna, for an example. So I gotta look now, for instance, whether there's consistency. If I wanna be a brahmachari in my next life, you know, whether I have the right friends, you know. You see, so is there consistency in my choices that I'm making in life, you know? Is there consistency? So I think that's how we can evaluate that. So please, guys, be engaged, and let's talk about these things. Maybe we can decide some. If someone has something that comes to mind quickly, please share it with us. Otherwise, would you guys be willing to maybe discuss with someone close to you? I'd like you to reflect on some of the choices, maybe some a choice that you made this morning, you know, and just see whether it is consistent with where you're going. So reflect on where you're coming from and where you are now and where you want to go, and see whether there's consistency in terms of the choices that you've made. Just someone next to you is okay. Krishna. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. So, so is there anything coming out? Someone wants to maybe contribute, share something? Okay, so it's different challenges along the way. Okay, I've got I think an appropriate response for that one from Bhagavad Gita. So I'll get back to that one. All right. Anyway, I hope that helped. okay, so just to wrap up, and maybe take some questions if there are any. My whole point is that if we show inconsistency in our choices, then at least we know we're being responsible. And just to maybe to respond to your comment, Prabhu, I'll read this this purport from the Bhagavad Gita. One who is not envious but is a kind friend to all living entity, who does not think himself a proprietor and is free from false ego, who is equal in both happiness and distress, who is tolerant, always satisfied, self-controlled, and engaged in devotional service with determination, his mind and intelligence fixed on me, such a devotee of mine is very dear to me. So I think we can take that to heart, that fixing our mind on Krishna makes Krishna smile. Please, if you have some easy questions, otherwise... Socially and morally. Did I ask for easy questions? I think there's a certain level of responsibility. The responsibilities are different. You can be responsible to some degree if without religion. But we see that if you're totally responsible, ultimately responsible, the ultimate responsibility, in fact, is devotional service. That's like, I want to be responsible for my devotional service today. It's like some people are responsible, you know, if someone sees a stray dog, you know, on the street, you'll take it to the vet or whatever, check it out, whether it's sick or whatever. That is some responsibility, you know. You know, some people are responsible for their spiritual life, for their spiritual growth. So there's some levels of responsibility. But that's just my take on it.
How much are these responsibilities
connected to social and moral? Well, moral, I think moral is they're part of society. I mean, they are in society. So morals is related to social, because it's amongst people. Social and religion we practice among other people. There's no individual religion, so to speak. We have to be with devotees, Sadhu Sangha. So it's a threat.
Well, I ask because you think that people are religiously responsible also have the social and moral understanding. Just by saying that, while some religious people may not be socially responsible.
I was looking at it like, within Krishna consciousness, social, moral, and spiritual. I mean, because we have these issues even within ISKCON, you know. Someone might think there's not so much morals, you see. So I wasn't looking at it in terms of being religious and then there being an outside world or whatever. I was just looking at ISKCON, issues within ISKCON. And if we can practice these values or these responsibilities within ISKCON, I mean, automatically we can practice them outside of ISKCON.
My question is, can we use Krishna consciousness to become very
That is being, I think that was said, I think in Bhakti Shastri that I'm learning now, we learned about devotees using scripture basically for their own satisfaction. True. So we have to depend on Krishna, right? For all the answers and all the... No?
Yes. It's very easy to misuse. Just and religious reasons for avoiding social and moral responsibility.
You're not properly practicing.
Well, Arjuna wanted to be. Arjuna, by saying he wanted to be his life and fighting to avoid his friends, was in effect saying, I don't want to be a Kshatriya.
I guess that's and
so his it's interesting because his reasons, he's kind of giving reasons which appear to be higher. I want to be a Brahmin, a Kshatriya, I want to be a sannyasi, Brahmin, a Grihastha. So he's pointing to higher principles.
And then Krishna just says, take my instructions, right? Something like that.
Yeah.
So, that's what I'm saying. Let's focus on Krishna, and then we'll be happy. We'll be elevated. No? Eric is.
We should
Thank you. Can you maybe repeat that for me?
We have to fully depend on Krishna.
Yeah.
How can we keep full responsibility of our choices?
You have one choice to make.
We have one choice.
Mm-hmm.
Krishna.
Yeah. And then he will supply you with everything you need. That's scripture. Yes, word supply, right? Every day. Yeah, because like I think the whole structure of our spiritual life is made with different choices that we've made along the way, right?
Yeah, I think that, like, it's interesting. I think the reason we can't understand the idea is that in one sense we've got to act and on the other side
Yeah.
Is that right?
Yeah.
And actually an interesting story. I think it's very easy to kind of give up any concern for the outcome when we know goodness. And when we know the passion, we tend to work very hard, we tend to become attached. We actually become responsible and active, and yet at the same time depending on Krishna. It's rather tricky. It's a kind of dilemma, isn't it? Is that right?
Yeah.
But we do have to make choices, and I think this is sometimes a misunderstanding. But actually Krishna's giving all global decisions for us. We have to make the decisions in consultation with the Supreme Lord. Mm-hmm. And actually there's a story, I think it was Guru's Chandra where he asked Sri Prabhupada whether he should stay in India or go elsewhere. And Sri Prabhupada said, we made the choice. So he asked about the king. He's going to probably refuse to make the choice for him. He said, you have to make the choice. And so really, we have to remember that we are actually making the choice in consultation with the Supreme Lord and the Supreme But it's not a way, the Krishna consciousness isn't a way of avoiding making those choices. It's not that Krishna's going to tell us everything. We have to start using our own intelligence, insight, and so on. And we have to be prepared to have to take responsibility for the translation of our choices. And in Arjuna, after the whole Gita, he had to fight. Can you imagine how many choices he had to make for his guru, Maharaj Dravacharya, coming before him? And he was on his way to fix his mind and made a vow to kill Jaya at sunset, otherwise he would enter into fire. And the spiritual master came before him and challenged him to check your courage. You can't refuse the challenge. But in that instance, he had to ignore the spiritual master and just went on to kill Jaya. He had to make so many choices.
Mm.
in that hospital. So it isn't a way of giving up responsibility. We have to still make those decisions. But those decisions should be made in consultation with the Lord and the heart, and with the Spirit of generosity and the gesture. Is that something that's interesting? It's a difficult one. There's a proverb in Arabia. Depend on our luck, we don't get to turn out of hunger. In other words, it's no good not doing your duty and then praying to Krishna. It's no good not preparing for class and then coming and praying to Krishna that it's going to be an inspiration to go to your class. Mm. Maybe you should prepare. And then you can deserve some mercy.
Because it's like, that's such a good point. It's like it's like what I was reading from Devaratam Swami. It's like the more we consciously make these right choices, in consultation, obviously, the more, you know, we build up this credit and we actually, you know, deserve Krishna's mercy in that way. Because we can only do so much, you know. I mean, I personally, you know, can only do so much. I can only, you know, just try and wake up in the morning. That's about it. And then what happens after that, it's like a step-by-step thing. So it's those little choices in our lives that make all the difference.
The story of the Lord is a little bit more understanding.
I thought of the story of Draupadi as well, I mean, with the whole sari thing, you know. It's like she had to surrender, you know, to get the message, you know. Anyway, Hare Krishna, thank you very much.
Bye.
Srila Prabhupada ki. I love you.
Thank you.